endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the message this morning. Please remember those who are on the prayer request page on the website. I do know that Doug is starting a program with Larry Blanchard, and pray that Larry will have some good ideas that will help Doug overcome the seizures that he's been dealing with. I don't know if there's any good way for me to share with you what I feel like I need to share. It may hurt some feelings, but I feel like it's just so important. And I'll be just as tactful as I can be. Unfortunately, though, my tact sometimes, maybe most times, is like a bull in a china closet. But I just believe this is so important that I need to share it. And I'll get to that here in just a minute. But last week, you know, I gave you a really good example of someone that was possessed by an evil spirit. A spirit, a belief system, a way of thinking that's not godly, not biblical, not scriptural. That spirit is an evil spirit. It is a mind that is possessed by a devil. Even an individual thought that is not godly, not biblical, not scriptural, even an individual thought is a thought that could be demon possessed. We've got to stop thinking of demon possession, possessed by devils. We've got to stop our minds from instantly racing to images created in Hollywood or the Catholic, quote, church. A belief system, what a man believes and is in his mind. That system of belief that is not godly, it is a mind that is possessed by devils, demons, Satans. Those bodies come in all shapes, sizes, and forms. And many of them are beautiful, pleasant to look at. You know, we're not talking about goblins and ghouls and warty witches, hags and warlocks. You know, Ted Cruz and every single one of his political cronies are demon possessed. They are all, every single one of them, their minds are possessed by devils, and their actions prove it. They have the, quote, power, and that's all it is power. It's not biblical. It's not God-ordained authority. It is simply raw, satanic power to enforce their demonic opinions on the world and even bomb others into oblivion if they do not bow down to and yield to their satanic opinions. The Israelis are not God's chosen people. There's not much more in our Bibles that's shown to be clearly satanic, demonic, devilish than to call people, any people, to call them God's chosen when those people are not embracing God's Son, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the one who came in the first century. The Bible says it clear as day. It is the synagogue of Satan who say that people, any people who have not embraced Christ, you know, I say any people, but it specifically says those who call themselves Jews. Call yourself a, quote, Jew, and you don't embrace Christ. You are the synagogue, the house, the dwelling place of Satan. And anyone who says that someone else is God's chosen and they don't embrace Christ, that is synagogue Satan. And to top it off, sit there and say that they learned that Benjamin Netanyahu's Israeli, quote, government, nation, etc., is directly tied to the promises of Abraham. Good grief! Yeah, you did learn that in, quote, church school. No doubt about it. Because, quote, church school is also the synagogue of Satan. Satan was a liar, the father of lies, the great deceiver, the tempter. And he was all that represented evil, which is simply this, that which does not represent God, godliness, is evil. You say that someone is God's chosen people, and those people do not embrace God's Son, Jesus the Christ. You are the synagogue of Satan. This week, another example of being possessed by an evil spirit. And to me, there's just no other way to explain how someone can be so insane. Headline, July 4th means freedom from government. It's from John Stossel. Quote, the belief that limited government protects individual rights turned out to be America's secret sauce. Friday is the 4th of July. What will you celebrate? Freedom from the English monarchy? To me, the 4th is about freedom, period. When the founders signed the Declaration of Independence, they put forth a radical idea. Rights don't come from kings or presidents. They come from being human. Government's job is to protect those rights. This idea, a limited government that protects individual rights, turned out to be America's secret sauce. It made us freer and richer country than any other in history. End quote. And you know, Stossel seems like a nice guy. I mean, he seems like someone who might be a friend of freedom, even maybe a friend of God. But what an absolutely moronic thing to say and to write. Limited, quote, government. Is he serious? America's secret sauce is, quote, limited government? Only a demon-possessed mind, an insane mind, a mind that knows nothing about the Bible, knows nothing about the will of God, could look at America today and say that what he sees is, quote, limited government. Rights don't come from kings or presidents. Really? Rights come from being human? Wow, that's quite a step away from what I thought I was getting ready to read, that rights come from God. But no, this is exactly the same type of thing that Satan's, the old serpent, the devil, would have presented his case to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Satan's, the devil, the old serpent, would have presented his case to Eve in the Garden of Eden or to Christ in Matthew chapter 4 and would have called it the Big Beautiful Bill. All satanic language wrapped up in beauty. Well, here comes the devil again. Dressed in beauty, of course. Dressed in America First, which I'm sure sounds good to about 99.9% of people who live in America. But when something is not God first, but man first or human first, you can rest assured that its origins are satanic. It is demonic. It is possessed by an evil spirit. Did you hear or read this week that Trump signed an executive order requiring foreigners to pay more for visiting U.S. parks? Sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, but how does he plan to charge the foreigners more? How will he know which people to charge more? Will it be based on the color of their skin? Will it be based on the shape of their eyes? Will it be based on the language they speak? Well, that last option would possibly work. But you can rest assured it will be based on the real ID or what is coming from the real ID. The day is coming in this country where IDs will be required not just to go to government parks, but to make any purchases at all. Because evil, demon-possessed minds came up with that scheme. The links are in the notes. Now, I've linked the, quote, executive order in the notes. And, of course, there's nothing in there that tells you how they're going to determine who is a foreigner and who is a, quote, non-resident. Well, I decided to pause the message for a minute to investigate this a little further. And apparently what I found is that they've already been doing this. Okay, the system is already in place to require an ID for certain things in the parks. Well, now it's just been expanded. So one president just paved the way for the next one to expand and to take away more freedom from people. And it's a beautiful thing to see, isn't it? Last weekend, a major storm just popped up out of nowhere and caused a lot of damage in Springfield, Missouri. And I've got family that lives in Springfield and nearby, and one of my family members was affected by the storm. And her backyard, which has got several tall oak trees, had limbs down, mostly landing in her yard and some of them into her neighbor's yard. Now, I went and I visibly looked at her yard, and thankfully nothing hit her house. That could have caused some pretty bad damage. But all it did was end up in the yard, on her fence, and in her neighbor's yard. And I told her that it would take about 2 hours to clean up her yard, and that Jerry and I would come over and take care of it. But no, I was told that she was going to wait and talk to her insurance company. Well, as you can imagine, I mean, that made me mad, but I didn't say a word to her about it. I just fumed, because that is not what Christians do. When a storm comes into the life of a Christian, the first thing they do is turn to the God of heaven for help. That is, if there's any damage from the storm, that's more than what the Christian's able to bear himself. For instance, when we were gone from our house when the storms came, but we were concerned, and we were concerned as to what we might find when we got home. And sure enough, when we got home, you could tell a storm had come through. And at our house, it wasn't anything like what we saw in Springfield, but there was stuff scattered all over the place. So what did we do? Well, simple. We started cleaning up all by ourselves. We didn't even think of calling an insurance agent. Well, there isn't one to call, because Christians have long since moved on from that demonic, satanic creation of men called insurance. Insurance is a man's way of removing the God of the Bible from their lives. God is not needed. If you need help, you call your insurance man, because you're in good hands with Allstate. You don't need to be in God's hands. You need to be in the good hands with Allstate. You don't need the Rock of Ages. You don't need the rock that the book of Psalms tells us about. You just need to get a piece of the rock with Prudential. I told my family member who had told Jerry and I not to come clean up her yard until she called her insurance agent, how I don't understand the world that she lives in. A storm comes, and instead of cleaning up the mess as soon as possible, you've got to wait until an insurance agent comes out and assesses the damage. Or you have to wait until their government's FEMA comes out to assess the damage. Well, friends, that's a mind that is insane. And now again, I'm not talking about the Hollywood image of insanity where people are in the loony bin. You know, one eye pointing one way and the other eye pointing the opposite direction. You know, someone who is insane is simply someone who is not thinking sanely. If a tree has fallen in your yard and you have the ability to move it, you move it. That's what a sane, rational thought says. If a tree falls on your roof, you get that tree off your roof and you repair your roof so water doesn't come inside the house, and you do it as quickly as you can. That's what the sane, rational mind says should be done. But no, a trained robot, you know, I'm a trained robot. I must wait until my insurance agent makes it out to take a look at my tree, and then he will tell me what I must do and how much he will pay to help me get through my problem. I cannot do anything about my problem until my God, little g, tells me what to do. And again, I'm trying to be tactful, but it's hard for me in this instance, because this family member, who's obviously very close to me, has spent a lifetime trying to shame me because I do not believe in insurance. I believe it's a satanic creation of men. I do not believe it is godly, biblical, scriptural. Jesus the Christ, nor his followers, nor the saints of old, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the saints, I will guarantee you, did not participate in insurance schemes, which, if you can believe history, date all the way back to Babylon. The truth is, I believe they go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where we first find Satan, the devil, the old serpent. Insurance has replaced trust in God with trust in men. So here's what happened. Another family member actually told the family member that I'm talking about not to call her insurance agent. That kind of surprised me. But why? Because that would make her, quote, premium go up. Well, wait a minute. What? You know, and I don't cuss. Anyone that knows me knows that I don't cuss. They've never heard me say a cuss word. But I'll tell you right now, that makes me so mad that I could come close to cussing. So you've got insurance. And you tell everyone else in the family, particularly those who do not believe in that satanic system, but you tell everyone how great that system is and how they should be doing it too. But when you have a storm come in your life, you ultimately decide not to call the insurance man because he's going to raise your rates. Wow! I mean, what then is the purpose? You just pay, 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 but when a storm comes, you don't claim it because the insurance company is going to make you pay more. Okay? If that is not insane, I don't know what is. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just because I don't know how that game is played. And maybe that's why it just seems so crazy to me, so insane to me. But to me, that's just nuts. Well, the family member decided to call her insurance agent anyway. And the insurance agent told her that they would be happy to pay whatever it took to clean up those tree limbs. But she'd have to pay the first $1,000. Okay, now, even though I might be playing a little dumb or naive here in this story, I do know how that works to a good extent. It's the deductible. I've heard of that. Well, in the meantime, my other family member sent someone out to the house to give an estimate to clean up the trees. Now, remember, Jerry and I were going to go over there and clean it up for free. Okay, the day after the storm, as soon as the storm was over, we were going to go over there and clean it up for free. No cost, not a penny. So my other family member asked someone, not in the family, to go and check it out and provide an estimate for cleanup. And what do you think that estimate was? Now, this was for about 2 hours worth of cleanup. A chainsaw, a trailer, a wheelbarrow, and some labor. And the estimate was only $3,500. $3,500. 2 hours worth of work. $3,500. So my family member was going to get out of that with only paying $1,000 and the insurance company would pay $2,500. Wow, that's great. And all the while, I'm just sitting here getting madder and madder. Because what should have cost an 85-year-old woman zero, nothing, because her son and her grandson-in-law were going to go do it for nothing, now she was going to have a complete stranger swindle her and an insurance company. Excuse me. For $3,500 to do a 2-hour job. $3,500. That is insane. That is nuts. But that's how that world operates. If there was no insurance company involved, if that system was not in place, and if there was no family members to help out an 85-year-old family member, if that 85-year-old lady needed to pay someone to clean up, it should not have cost $3,500. It shouldn't have cost $1,000. It should have been no more than $300. Well, Teresa found someone online that said they were offering to help people with their tree cleanup, and he was going to do it at no cost. Well, Teresa wasn't sure why he was offering his labor for free, but she contacted him. she actually thought that it might have been a scam, but she contacted him anyway. Well, turns out it wasn't a scam. He was completely legitimate and said he would clean up her yard and expected nothing for it. So we decided to go that route. And I met him in my family member's backyard. And I told him that we weren't going to let him do this for free, even though he insisted that he was not there looking for any money. But I asked him, how long do you think this will take you? He said, no more than 2 hours. Funny how that worked out. That wasn't ironic. That wasn't a weird moment. Any sane man could have looked at that yard and concluded very quickly, with a chainsaw, a trailer, and a wheelbarrow, about 2 hours. Well, I went inside and told my 85-year-old family member that she should give this man $300 for coming out and cleaning up her yard. And that's what she did. Well, the insurance company did not cause more inflationary damage. Let me say it this way. The insurance company did not cause inflationary, satanic, demonic, devilish price gouging to continue to thrive, at least not in this instance, though I'm quite sure they have done it everywhere else. But at least Satan didn't win in this instance. She didn't even pay the $1,000 that her satanic insurance company wanted her to pay for a two-hour job. Okay, now she could have had this done for zero, nothing, not one penny. But instead, she actually did something partially God's way for a change and barely got hurt in the process. Well, the sad thing is that 85 years old, she probably didn't learn anything. Even though she had the way of God presented to her, she should have seen how much better the Bible way is, how much better it is to do things the way God's people do things, as opposed to the satanic systems of the world. But at that age, that probably wasn't enough to make her see the error of walking, spending a whole life walking according to the course of the world. $3,500 for a two-hour cleanup of tree limbs and leaves. That's insane. But that is what the satanic world, the demonic world, has created for itself. And that's why when you go to the store to buy a pound of butter, it costs $4. That's why a pound of beef is $5 or $6. That's why a glass of orange juice is $4 at IHOP. Okay, that's why, quote, the average price of a new car in 2025 is around $48,000. Though this can vary significantly by vehicle type and manufacturer, used car prices are also on the rise, with the average used car price reaching $25,721 in 2025, end quote. And that's why, quote, the average cost of a house in the U.S. is expected to be around $416,000. $900 in the first quarter of 2025, with the average home sales price at $503,800, according to, and listen to this, The Motley Fool. Well, that's certainly appropriate, The Motley Fool. My mother told me recently that the house that her and my dad bought right after they got married in Florida, tiny little house made of cinder blocks, cost $11,000, and it's on the market today for sale at over $250,000. Great system they've created for themselves. This other statement continues. However, this figure can vary significantly by location, with some states like Hawaii having much higher average prices and others like West Virginia having much lower average prices, according to The Motley Fool, end quote. Very few people seem to give much thought as to why or how this has happened. It's called inflation, yes, but it's also because of the satanic, demonic, devilish system that nearly the entire world, at least the American world, loves, worships, and adores so much. Nearly the entire world lives in deception, just like the book of Revelation says. The whole world lies in deception. And those who call themselves Christians had better stop participating in this satanic, demonic, devilish system. a while back, I came across an old George Gordon video on YouTube. Now, I'm not at all recommending George Gordon, okay? Even though there's a lot of truth in some of the things that he used to say, I'm not recommending him because he was a con, a constitutionalist, but he did have some good things to say. I found an old video of his where he talked about how evil the insurance companies are, how insurance companies are behind all of the hundreds of thousands of, quote, statutes of men concerning driving, working, etc. All their, quote, laws that are so restrictive and oppressive come from insurance companies doing all they can to reduce their own risk of paying out claims. Okay, and I'm not going to take the time to find that video, but if someone out there has the time to find it and send me the link, I'll pass it on. It's a good video. And I don't know if the one that I'm looking for, if this is the one, but I did link one in the notes. All right. Back to the central passage in our Bibles concerning what it means to be possessed by evil spirits. At least the central passage that I've been using. Read with me again. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. As I say to you, every time we read this, it just seems so clear that Satan, the devil, owned, at least at that time, and I have to qualify that because we know that the Bible tells us that in the Revelation, when Jesus Christ was revealed as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, just prior to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus the Christ completely destroyed this Satan, took away his power, and took back to himself, Jesus the Christ took back to himself all the kingdoms of the world. He brought them down, eliminated them, and made the entire world his kingdom. Now, we know that Christ did this, but since that time, men have been continually trying to rebuild those kingdoms, but they are doing so in total rebellion to the only God-ordained king. They're fighting against the kingdom of God. They're crazy. They're insane. They're mad. They're demon-possessed. They're doing all they can to live according to the spirit of Satan, the devil, the old serpent, the one that Christ defeated and conquered. When men try to build back the kingdoms of the world, whether they are building back better or whether they are making great again, they are warring against the God of the Bible and his Son and rebelling against his kingdom and kingship. The kingdoms of the world are the kingdoms of Satan's, of demons, of devils. Every time I read and reread this passage, it's so clear. I showed you last week how that Moses was Israel's savior. Moses was Israel's deliverer. Moses was raised up by God to physically deliver God's people from the main kingdom of the world at that time, which was Egypt. I showed you the same thing with Gideon, with Hezekiah, with Cyrus. God raised each and every one of them up to physically deliver his people, physically deliver his people, physically deliver his people from the kingdoms of the world in hopes that his people would live according to his ways, his laws, his statutes, and his perfect will. Then we find the children of Israel, God's people, in bondage to the Roman Empire. At the end of the old world and in the beginning of the new world, God's people were in bondage to the Romans. And the Romans were, at that time, the world leader of the kingdoms of men. There's not any question about this, no matter who you talk to. And I realize that you could turn that statement right around against me and say that, well, the history books are lies. Yeah, I get that. So throw them out. God's word says that the Romans were a world power. God's word says that the Romans were in control of the world at the time of Christ. Israel was under the bond of Rome. And God raised up the greatest deliverer, the greatest savior of all time. Greater than Moses, greater than Gideon, greater than Samson, greater than Hezekiah, greater than Cyrus. Christ was the greatest of all of those combined. He was the Son of God sent to, as the Bible says, clear as can be, preach deliverance to the captives. But somehow Christ failed in his mission? Christ wasn't as good a deliverer as Moses? As Gideon, as Samson, as Hezekiah, as Cyrus? What are we thinking? Or are we even thinking? That might be a better question. Moses said to Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. But we get to Christ, and Christ says, God said, render unto Caesar. God said, stay in bondage to Caesar. Obey Caesar. Well, friends, excuse me, it's a mind that is demon-possessed that comes to that conclusion. In Matthew chapter 4, what is the only thing that a man could understand about Satan offering Jesus the kingdoms of the world? Satan was talking about Rome. And not just Rome, of course. He was offering Christ all the kingdoms of the world. But in this, all the kingdoms of the world, Rome was included. As a side note, this is why I've told you before that I've got my suspicions, okay? And it doesn't make a hill of beans difference if this is accurate or not. But I've got my suspicions that the Satan in Matthew chapter 4 was either Caesar himself or a representative of Caesar. Doesn't matter. Just one of those fun little fireside chats. Doesn't matter. Whoever, whatever this Satan, this devil was, he was in charge of the kingdoms of the world. The kingdoms of the world that opposed Christ. The kingdoms of the world that opposed God. Satan was in charge of them. And Satan offered them to Christ, but Christ flatly refused. Christ refused the kingdoms of the world because in order to worship, to serve, to obey the kingdoms of the world, a man has to disregard every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and Christ would not do it. Why is that passage so hard for people to understand? In order to worship, to serve, to obey the kingdoms of the world, men must disregard every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's a choice between one or the other. If a man is obeying the kingdoms of the world, that man is disregarding every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is what it's all about in Matthew chapter 4. The principles are clear, and ultimately, it doesn't matter whether or not this Satan was a real being, whether or not this Satan was actually Caesar. It doesn't matter whether anything in this story is literal or figurative. This is about living according to the kingdoms of the world or living according to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It can't be both. It's one or the other. It's living by the word of God or living by the kingdoms of men. And Christ said no to the kingdoms of men. If it could have been possible to live according to the kingdoms of the world and according to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, Christ could certainly have done it. He could have shown the way. But he didn't. He flatly rejected the kingdoms of the world. If it's okay to live according to the Caesars, if Christ himself said, live according to the Caesars, which he absolutely did not say, but as we've been told our entire lives that Jesus said to obey, quote, the Caesars, then why did he flatly reject Satan's offer in Matthew 4? It's because there's a principle. The kingdoms of the world cause men and women, boys and girls, to disregard the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. And let me say this. If the kingdoms of the world only caused men to disregard one single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's more than enough reason to flatly reject every single thing the kingdoms of the world requires. That's what this is all about. The ultimate understanding of what it means to be possessed by an evil spirit, to be demon-possessed, is to believe in the kingdoms of the world. To believe that God has commanded his people to stay in bondage to the kingdoms of the world. And friends, we see in Matthew 4 that Satan tempted Christ with the kingdoms of the world. The big, beautiful kingdoms of the world. And Christ resisted. Christ rejected. And Christ's rejection of the kingdoms of the world ultimately ended in the kingdoms of the world killing him because he rejected them. Christ told his followers that they too would be persecuted and some would be killed because they followed him. The kingdoms of the world war against the kingdom of God. And yes, Christ ultimately triumphed over them and put down all their authority and all their rule. But as soon as he put them down, rebellious men started doing all they could to rebuild them. And the battle for Christianity has been raging ever since. To be a Christian means to be determined to resist the kingdoms of the world, just like our example in Matthew 4. It means to be determined to live according to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And in the world, the reason why the Christian is persecuted is because the Satans aren't just satisfied with tempting men today. The Satans pass, quote, laws that attempt to ban men from living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Mandatory insurance now. Mandatory obedience to their rules and regulations. All these things that are contrary to the laws of God are mandatory. At least that's what they say. And then they put force behind them. Do this or go to jail. Do this or lose your property. Do this or be separated from your loved ones. I submit to you that it's because people do not understand what it means to be possessed by evil spirits is why things have gotten worse and worse and worse, and why they will continue to get worse and worse and worse. Possessed by evil spirits doesn't mean what Hollywood says it means. It means having a mind that thinks the kingdoms of the world are ordained by God. It means having a mind that is incapable of seeing that the requirements that the world puts on people are causing them to disregard every word, or even just one word, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And today the whole world lies in deception. The whole world has been deceived into believing that God himself commands obedience to the kingdoms of the world. And that somehow the kingdoms of the world today are different from the kingdoms of the world in Christ's day. But there's no difference. The kingdoms of the world are still there to try to prevent people from finding, embracing, and living according to every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This weekend is when the kingdoms of the world celebrate themselves. Their 4th of July and all their celebrations. They're celebrating themselves as the kingdoms of the world. And it's demonic. It's satanic. And very few people get it.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.